Welcome, everyone, to another episode of What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. We are the show that tries to find the workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends that are shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around us. My hope is something that you hear on this show is something that you can take back to your own workplace and implement or think about or just simply do it, and it'll make your own workplace a better place. It'll make you a little bit better at whatever it is that we do. Not long ago, I walked into a store off of Government Street here in Mobile with a blower that was broken. And Edward Dismuse came out from behind the counter, shook my hand. He's a friend from back in the day, and showed him what was wrong with it. He said, "We'll take care of it." I said, "When can I pick it up?" He said, "Just stand around. It won't take long." And he and I started talking. Well, here's what I didn't know. He's third generation, Edward is. Third generation in the family business. Came home from a career to run the business when his dad was sick. And we'll hear a little bit about this in a moment. And what it means is succession planning. Succession planning is always just like blood in the water for this show. Whenever we find a succession planning conversation, we seem to get a lot of feedback. And when I heard Ed say this, as well as his plans for growth westward from Mobile and how he's thinking logically about this growth, I thought Edward needs to be on the show, man. He's got succession planning content. He's got strategic growth content. And he's victim, unfortunately, of some smash and grab robberies that have happened in his business, as well as many similar businesses across the Gulf Coast. He showed me a video of somebody coming in, taking a chainsaw, trying to get away. And one of Ed's employees run out and kind of grabbing the guy, grabbing the chainsaw and wrestling it back from him. Heroic or foolish, I don't know. But they didn't make away with the chainsaw. Ultimately, those guys got captured or caught by the police using the video system that Edward has. It's a tough story. It's reality. And apparently it's going on a lot out there. Anyway, Edward's got these stories to tell, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what he's done to prevent them from going further, as well as how he's working with other similar retailers to prevent this from happening. It seems to be an epidemic in our society right now. So when we get back from break, we'll be with Edward Dismukes. Prior to break, though, I want you to think about your own financial future. This is important for all of us. And the stat that just keeps jumping out at me is that it's becoming increasingly possible for us to retire longer, to live longer in retirement than we worked. Which means what? Which means our financial houses need to be in order, baby. It means that our financial situation needs to be very deliberate and cared for. And if you're wondering how your financial situation stacks up as you're thinking about retirement, I want you to call the folks at Sandifer Wealth Management. Jamie Sandifer, Mark Salyers, the two chiefs over there are going to take care of you. Family, I was with them today. Nice people. They care for their clients in wonderful ways. If you're thinking about your future, wonder, or even curious about your financial future, give Sandifer Wealth Management a call. You can find them online. They have a wonderful way for you to engage with them on their website. Or simply go online, find their number, give them a call. Tell them I sent you. Sandifer Wealth, good folks. When we come back, Edward Dismukes. You're listening to What's Working, presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama.
A cool thing happened back in 64.
In my family, turn to the experts is more than a tagline. It's a promise. Every Keith technician is an experienced AC professional, and that saves you money. Speaking of money, how about 0% financing for up to 60 months on installations of new Carrier systems? Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
Mobile's leading name in comfort since 1964.
License number 83731. At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
This is Cam Marston. The Alabama Commercial Real Estate Conference and Expo will be held on Friday, February 11th at The Club in Birmingham. It's the state's premier commercial real estate conference. The connections made with peers across the state could very well lead to your next big transaction. To quote one attendee, if you aspire to be relevant in real estate in Alabama, you can't afford to not go. Go to acrecom.info to learn more. That's acrecom.info to learn more.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer, now offering the purchase of the Stella Artois Chalice, a beautiful stemmed glass with the Stella logo. The purchase of each Stella Artois Chalice provides 5 years of clean water for someone in one of 13 developing countries around the world. Learn more at StellaArtois.com. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working, presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the University of Alabama. I'm in the studio today with Edward Dismukes. He's the president and owner of Wilson Dismukes. They've been in and around Mobile since 1944. Family-owned business. We're going to learn about the business, the succession plan that got him into place, succession plans that may get his next generation into place, and learn about the growth of the business as it expands westward in Mobile. Edward, thank you for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Well, thank you, Cam. I look forward to talking with you today.
Let's talk a little bit about last year, 2021. How did the year go? Everybody's talking about how was your year. How did your year go?
You know, 2021 was an excellent year for Wilson Dismukes and a lot of other retailers in our industry and other industries. It was a banner year for us, one of the best we've ever had, despite supply issue challenges and shortages of products from new equipment to parts. And if we could have gotten everything that we had on order, we would have had even a more stellar year.
Tell everybody about your business. Perhaps we should have started there. What is it that you sell? I know because I was in there talking to you a couple of weeks ago, but tell everybody about the business.
Sure, Cam. Wilson Dismukes started in 1944 as a partnership between my grandfather and his brother-in-law, and it started out as a fish market that morphed into a grocery store. Very interesting story. Over time, it became a hardware business, and then small engine equipment was added and home appliances. When I came in 18 years ago, we were Alabama's oldest Maytag dealer, and we made the decision to move white goods or appliances out, focus on small engine equipment only. So today, we sell and service a wide range of small engine equipment, from portable generators to lawn equipment to chainsaws to water pumps that would pump a barge on the Mobile River out. We sell the parts that service those things to individuals and wholesale, and then we also service the brands and equipment which we sell.
So the business started in 1944 as a fish market.
That's the story that I'm told.
Yeah.
And it started out and then quickly changed into a grocery store.
Yeah.
Mr. Delchamps came in. He was an acquaintance of my grandfather and said, hey, we're opening up down the street. We've got a business model that's very solid, and you may want to look at doing something else. I don't know if he wanted to get out of the grocery business or if he felt forced to get out, but they got into hardware, and he and my great uncle, and then that morphed into small engine equipment and other things. And so it's been an interesting ride and just proof positive that you have to be flexible and willing to change to stay in business.
Let me tell you about my listener real quick, because so many things that you've already said have queued up questions. We've done the research on our listener on the show. It's a 45-year-old or older, typically. There are people listening that are not this, but 45-year-old or older male in an influencer role in his or her business. And what you've said already, I know, is piquing the interest of this decision maker, and that is, Why did you decide to get out of white goods or appliances? Why did you decide to move west, which we'll talk about? There are a lot of things that you've done that have grown your business, that your family's done that grown your business, that I know my listeners think through every day, wanting to know how to make these decisions. So you were there when you were the largest Maytag dealer, and you saw that decision be made to stop doing this. What was the evidence you used to make that decision?
Sure. And one correction, and then we're the oldest Maytag dealer. I wouldn't say we were the largest
state of
Alabama.
You're right. Good.
But as the oldest Maytag dealer, I was looking to simplify our business and streamline it. And as I was watching customers, most lawn and garden equipment is purchased by males. And we had an older store that wasn't as fresh and modern as the person looking to buy appliances, which typically 18 years ago was a female that would come in shopping for an appliance. So we either needed to invest a large amount of capital to update our store and maybe look at a new location. And we looked at that. I remember looking at Pine Brook Shopping Center to go in and do an appliance-only store and just decided that even though appliances were more profitable, our gross profit margin was higher on those than lawn and garden equipment, that the cost of staying in that line and updating and expanding was just more than I could handle at that time. Mm-hmm. So we decided to exit that business, thought it would take about 3 years to recapture that lost revenue. And by adding more lawn equipment on display, putting more lawn equipment out, having a broader range, we recaptured that lost revenue within 12 months.
So you really, I hesitate to say you've got the Midas touch, but it sure sounds like things have gone well in these critical decisions that you've made. Is that the case?
I think they've gone well. There have been a lot of mistakes made. There's been a lot of testing. I opened up a place in Baldwin County a little bit sooner than we were ready to. We stayed open, lost a key employee. So we stayed open just for about 3 years, and then we pulled out of that market and focused just back in Mobile. And then a number of years ago, we expanded in West Mobile, and now we're ready to expand again. So not everything's worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
But I learned a long time ago, you persevere and you keep trying, and it's okay to experiment. If you make a mistake, you just back up and go at it again.
Declare the mistake and learn from the lesson. One of the more popular topics of this show has been succession planning. In fact, we did a workshop, partners and I did a workshop on succession planning, particularly with family-owned businesses. Tell me how you were groomed to take on the business. What was the process? How long did it take? How did you know when you were ready? How did your father know when you were ready?
Well, I'm back in the family business by accident. If you want to call it grooming, I worked on Saturdays and throughout all the summers growing up, and I pushed a broom and I put together equipment. I rode on the delivery truck as an assistant, and I did everything that's basic and menial, and that was a great experience, and it taught me to work. But it also taught me I didn't want to be in retail business, and I didn't want to be in the family business. And so after I graduated from college, I looked elsewhere and ended up in a nonprofit role with a company for a while, and then ended up in pharmaceutical sales. And I thought I would never come back to Mobile. And unfortunately, my father had an illness in his late 50s. He was out of work for about a year, and we made the decision, my wife and I, to come back to Mobile to help my parents with the business.
Do you have siblings?
I have a younger sister, and she's married and lives out of town, and you know, we ask she and her husband, and he's a physician, so he had no interest in retail, and they did not want to come back. So, you know, we gladly came back, although it was a huge change moving back from Louisville, Kentucky to Mobile when we were happy and planted very deeply up there.
So I go in your store to have my steel chainsaw serviced, as well as some of my blowers and things like that. I walk in there, and it's just like a testosterone overdose. There are sharp things and spinning things, that there are lawnmowers and things of that nature. I go in there, and I have to handle things, and I hold the big chainsaw, and imagine what it would be like to cut something with this. Who is your customer? Tell me. It can't be me. Who is your customer?
You know, we have an extremely broad customer base, and it's because of what we sell. And there's a lot of items we sell that the typical consumer in Mobile would not be aware that we're providing this product to Mobile, such as a general purpose water pump that would be purchased by the barge companies.
Yeah.
Those aren't really on display. They're there. But our typical customer is the homeowner. 60% of my business, and everyone's always surprised by this, but mm-hmm. the majority of my business, and I'm basing this on revenues, not on customer count, but 60% of my revenues come from a homeowner, a person just like you, with
really?
A lawnmower or a handheld blower or a battery blower. And the number of women, single moms or just widows, that come in and buy, especially now that we have good quality battery-powered equipment, is increasing. So we're seeing more and more females come in, even though it's perceived to be a male-dominated business. And we need to soften our image some and make it more user-friendly. And you'll see I've made a very concerted effort to hire females. I have three excellent females on staff. I'm pursuing a fourth right now to join our team. And I think that helps, but they also work very hard, and they've been great workers.
Have you been surprised by the number of females coming through the door? Is this something that the industry told you was coming?
I read everything I can in the industry, and I study my competition and really colleagues. I'll travel this winter to two or three stores around the Southeast and see how they're doing business and meet with them. And everyone's reporting it. A lot of times the female's the decision maker with the money purchase. So the husband picks out the mower, but the wife has to approve that $6,000 commercial zero turn purchase. So it's important to be able to accommodate their questions and meet them in a warm and welcoming way.
So, and this is stuff that I've researched in the other role that I have, the other professional role that I have, which is studying the demographics of the marketplace. And the female, the male essentially issues a PO or gives the PO to the wife, who approves it and says, yeah, you can get it, just like you described about the lawnmower. What else have you done in your workplace to accommodate the female? You've said you've got hired three female employees and you've got a fourth one that you're working with to try to get her on board. Are there other things in the workplace you've done to make the female customer feel more welcome?
I don't know that we've tried to segment female and male customers, but we try to be, in our culture, very friendly and accommodating. We want to welcome everyone who comes in. And in fact, if you read our Google reviews, which I watch very closely, you'll see that people compliment how we thank them for their business or greet them when they come in. And, we hold doors open for people. They're carrying a large chainsaw in. So if I'm up front, you'll see me grab the door for a male or a female.
Sure.
It doesn't matter, and welcome them into the store. And I think that's gone a long way to make people feel we're genuine, and it's a warm and inviting marketplace for them.
What is the single item you sell the most of? Is it a weed eater? Is it a chainsaw? Do you know what the number one SKU is?
So that would be a gasoline-powered line trimmer, and there are various models, but that would be our number one. We sell a large number of handheld blowers, both battery and gasoline-operated, and backpack blowers.
We're going to go to break right now. When we get back, I realize I haven't talked to you about the succession plan for your next generation and whether you're working on that and if you have a methodical approach to it. We'll address that when we pick it back up. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. What's Working is presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed in the Culver House College of Business at the University of Alabama. In the studio today with Edward Dismukes, the president, the owner of Wilson Dismukes on Government Street. We'll be right back.
Paul Lewis, General Manager of Roy Lewis Construction. Many of our commercial buildings you drive by daily on both sides of the bay are the fruits of our client relationships since our beginning in the early 80s. It is our mission to bring value to our clients, from retrofits to ground-up construction and everything in between. We have more advocates than any of our competitors who have been in business twice as long. Same with repeat business, same with referrals. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com and let's talk about your next commercial project.
Real estate is a relationship business. Whether you're young and inexperienced or an industry veteran, the connections you'll make at the Alabama Commercial Real Estate Conference and Expo on Friday, February 11th in Birmingham will be with the most relevant players in the industry. It's the premier commercial real estate conference in the state. To see the list of speakers, to get info on continuing education credits, and how to become a sponsor and to register, go to acrecom.info. That's acrecom.info.
Hi, I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing in downtown Mobile. We make drinkable, flavorful craft beer perfect for life on the Gulf Coast. So pick up one of our six-packs before your next adventure or stop by our tap room for a relaxing afternoon with friends. Follow us on social media for the latest beer releases and events and ask for a Braided River at your favorite bars and restaurants. Thanks for your support. We look forward to sharing our beers with you.
This is Cam Marston, and I'm with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, if a homeowner thinks they have termites, do you offer inspections? What about someone buying a new home? Can you come in and take a look and see if there are termites in their new home?
Yeah, basically what we would do on a home above and beyond anyone else is we actually do a thorough inspection. But above that, we will use infrared imaging that will allow us to see problems in the wall. And at times can tell us if there's anything going on.
That's fantastic, Cajun Mike. How can people find you?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working. We're back. What's Working is presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, better known as ACRE. At the University of Alabama. In the studio today, I'm with president and owner of Wilson Dismukes, Edward Dismukes, third generation. Edward, are you third or second generation?
I'm a third generation.
Third generation runner of the business, started in 1944, I just learned a moment ago, as a fish market, fish sales, and today selling what I think is some pretty cool stuff, lawn, garden equipment, gasoline-powered stuff, and they have just a bevy of chainsaws. If you like chainsaws, you can have all your wishes fulfilled in this place. Edward, prior to the break, we were going to talk about succession planning for the next generation. Are there plans for that, and how are you going about that?
Certainly, Cam. I told you earlier that it's almost an accident that I came back into the business. I'm glad I did. It was difficult at first and to get back because I left a career I really loved and enjoyed. And what I'm trying to create now is a business that will operate whether I'm there or not, that I have the right people in place and the right board of directors that support us, that if something were to happen to me, the business could continue, because that wasn't in place very well when my father became ill and had to step out of the business. So I have three children. Two are in the health care industry and or will be. One's in medical school now when he graduates. And my third is a finance major, and he's a senior, and he's expressed an interest to come back. So as far as how I've approached succession planning, I've allowed my children to approach me and express an interest. I haven't tried to encourage them to come into the business. Retail is a difficult and very challenging business. The future has a lot of obstacles that are going to have to be overcome to be remain successful, and we'll have to change like we've changed since 1944. I'm not sure what that looks like in the next 25 years, but I do. I'm open to one of my children coming back in if my youngest elects to do that. But there are a couple of requirements. The first is when he finishes his education, he cannot come to work for me right away. He has to go work somewhere else, and I don't know if that's 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. So he knows that. The other thing I mentioned earlier is I just waited for them to approach me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to ever feel obligated or locked in to working in the family business. And then the third thing is I've told them you have to make decisions from a business perspective. And sometimes those are difficult decisions to make. You can't be emotionally wrapped in and say, hey, this was my great grandfather's business, we're going to keep it open no matter what. It's a business. This is not my hobby. I'm here to turn a profit, and I'm here to provide employment and a good income for my 17 employees. And We have to make decisions that take care of the customer and the employee. And I just want to make sure whoever follows me one day embraces that and doesn't get wrapped up in emotion. Because I've seen people really struggle trying to keep something going when they shouldn't because they're emotionally invested in it.
You mentioned that, and I was gonna focus on that for a moment. This would be the fourth generation, but you sound, and I don't, this is not the right term, cold and calculated about it. If it's not working, we won't keep it open anymore. Yet it would be the end of a line. How do you feel about that?
Well, I approach it from a business standpoint, sure. And I just think, you know, it's not callous or cold. It's just, it's a business, and it doesn't mean that I wouldn't help my son start a different business mm-hmm. or a different line of work. And thankfully, we're doing excellent. I mean, we've just had one of our best years yeah. in the history of the store from multiple perspectives. And so I welcome him coming in, and I think that would work out very well for him. I just want him to do it if he wants to and not because he thinks I want to.
When I was in your store, we were talking a little bit about your turnover, and you have a remarkably low turnover from what I remember of our conversation. In my experience, and people in the chair that you're in now, is that people who have such low turnover tend to have a really identifiable positive culture. Talk to me about your workplace culture and what it is and how you perpetuate it.
Well, I think our culture, and we try to hire the right people, and I like to empower them to work hard and to do, you know, to express their own personality. So I think of my key parts person. She loves to wear pink, and she likes to have trinkets around her workstation. Absolutely drives me nutty because I want a clean, crisp workstation.
Right.
But that's her personality, and she does an excellent job. And if she wants to wear pink from head to toe, when we used to require a uniform, and it took a little bit of time for me to realize this isn't hurting the business. She's expressing her personality, and it's become really her brand. And customers will come in and say, I want to talk to that lady in pink because she's the most knowledgeable. So I've tried, as far as my culture is, to let my employees be themselves. My dad told me a long time ago, never hire anyone with an earring, you know, a man. Some of my best employees have had earrings, and yeah. I've just learned to not worry about that. So even though I don't personally wear one. And so an accommodating culture for the employees, allowing them to express themselves. And then what we've tried to create is a very friendly and welcoming environment, and where we're appreciative of the customer. And I think that's gone a long way. The customers see that, and then the employees know that we appreciate the customers and we appreciate the employees, and everybody works together for that common goal.
So I remember a quote from Sam Walton, Walmart fame, and it was, it takes 2 weeks for an employee to treat a customer the same way management treats employees. In other words, it trickles down. And the way you treat your team takes 2 weeks before it gets that same treatment, gets to the customer. So it means to me, you must treat your team very welcoming, very accommodating, if that's the feeling that the customers are getting. Can you comment on that?
I hope that's the case. They may say I'm pretty hard because I know that I'm extremely hard on myself. And when I make a mistake or don't meet an expectation, I'm very hard on myself, and I expect a lot from them. So I think that comes across, but I think they also know that at the end of the day, even though I may ask some hard questions or get on to them for not meeting a standard or getting a job completed properly, that they are appreciated and that we do have their best interest, at least as much as we can, at heart.
I was talking to the guy from Threaded Fasteners not long ago. He's a big fan of their culture. He's the steward of their culture. But every one of these people who have such a positive culture in the workplace see opportunities to build it. It's never fixed. Culture is never fixed. It's never cooked. It's never done. It's always in process. As you look at your workplace culture, where's the next effort?
You know, as we're growing and expanding, as I take more of a off the sales floor role, it's important to have policies and procedures so that we treat customers equitably and consistently. So what I'm trying to focus on is that we don't lose that small business, family-owned business feel. So we don't want too many policies and too many procedures, but we're in a situation where we have to focus on repairing only the brands we sell now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find mechanics. We're very busy. We've grown. We're growing very rapidly with repair service, and fewer people are doing that. So we have people all the time that come with something they bought elsewhere, which is not a brand we sell. And we have to have a policy that, you know, we just can't work on that, because if Cam Marston or another customer buys a product from me, I don't want to make them wait 3 weeks to have it repaired because I'm working on someone's product that they didn't purchase from me.
Yeah.
So, but we want to do that in a nice, friendly way, and but in a way that we still help the person. So we actually keep business cards for multiple competitors of ours that will work on that equipment, and we try to advise the customer where to take it.
You sound like the movie, the Christmas time movie that we saw back in the Christmas season, where the Santa Claus started referring people to the competitor's store, Gimbel's or whatever it may be. I forget, Miracle on 34th Street, where the customer couldn't believe that she had just been referred to Gimbel's because they had the roller skates she wanted or something like that. What do the customers say when you give them someone else's business card?
You know, when people come in and they're working, or they have a problem and we're working to meet their need, they're appreciative. And,
yeah,
you know, some are there because they only want to deal with us, but others are just, they don't care who repairs it, so they just want help.
Yeah.
You know, treat everyone as your top customer and they'll be back.
You've said a number of times how busy the year has been. Has there been a catalyst to it? Why has it been, this is 2021, why was last year so busy?
So last year was remarkably busy. The year before was surprisingly busy. You know, coming out of COVID and with the lockdown, we were an essential business, stayed open, and were just surprised that we had the influx of customers that we did. But then it makes sense when you look back, going back 2 years, people were home and they decided to do those yard projects they'd been putting off, and they were buying equipment, and then people had stimulus money and other things that came in last year, and we had customers walk in and say, you know, I always needed a riding lawnmower, and now I've got some money to put down toward one. And I think there was an influx of money, but it's not just our industry. Every business article I read, there's a demand is up, consumer purchasing is up, and businesses are doing well. And if the guy paving makes a little extra money, he comes in and buys a chainsaw for his hunting camp. And if the doctor's busy, you know, they come in and they buy a generator to tailgate with at their college football game.
Right. I had Ellis Ollinger in that chair not long ago with Flowerwood Nursery. He said the pandemic has just blown them out, that people did the gardening chores that they had put off forever. And they just had, and I think he cited 8 million new gardeners as a result of the pandemic or something like that. And they couldn't keep up with flowers and the pots and all that kind of stuff. Very interesting story. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to hear about the information you've gleaned that has led to the decision to expand westward. I know there are many listeners probably thinking, "What? How did he determine when to expand and where to expand?" And maybe we can lend some thoughts to that. I'm Cam Marston. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed at the University of Alabama. In the studio, Edward Dismukes, the president, owner of Wilson's Dismukes, third generation lawn, garden, powered. Edward, help me describe this.
Our industry term is outdoor power equipment.
There we go. We'll be right back.
At Roy Lewis Construction, we're in the business of adding value. Whether it's working with you to meet your unique business needs, or making investments in our community in lasting ways, providing unparalleled value and quality in every commercial construction project. When planning your next commercial project, reach out to Roy Lewis Construction. We'll pair you with a designer that best suits your project needs and work with that designer to balance the best architectural outcome with the best budget outcome. Find us online at roylewisconstruction.com, building legacies one relationship at a time.
At Spring Hill Toyota, it's just that easy. From our three-day exchange to free car washes, the benefits of the Spring Hill Advantage make the choice easy to see. We make it easy to own. Every vehicle comes with Toyota Care, plus our no-cost maintenance plan with free tire rotations and oil changes for 4 years. Get peace of mind with free roadside assistance 24/7. And don't forget, it's easy to buy your car 100% online. Visit SpringHillToyota.com today. It's just that easy.
Think about how people really see you. The kid at the drive-thru just sees a coffee drinker.
Please pull forward.
Your local barista sees the person who loves a smiley face in their latte.
See you next time.
It's kind of the same way with insurance. Other insurance companies just see a customer, but a State Farm agent sees more. They see you as a neighbor. Your State Farm agent is here to get to know who you really are so they can help life go right.
Call me, State Farm agent Allison Horner, Mobile at 666-1616.
I'm David Nelson, brewmaster and owner of Braided River Brewing. We want beer that goes along no matter where the adventure takes us and that doesn't make us choose between great beer and drinkability. We're drawn to the Delta and united by beer because to us, the best way to celebrate the Delta is to slow down and savor the moments and the beer together. Come visit our tap room in downtown Mobile and ask for us at your favorite bar or restaurant. Visit online at braidedriverbrewing.com.
Back, you're listening to What's Working, presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the University of Alabama.
Edward Dismukes is the president and owner of Wilson Dismukes. He's third generation. We've talked about the potential for the fourth generation. It's expanding. The business is getting bigger. Edward, let's talk a little bit about what led to your decision to expand and why you are doing it the way you're doing it.
Well, in our industry, to survive and to be competitive, most businesses are needing to expand and enlarge. And, you know, being a larger dealer for one of our manufacturers just puts us in a better position to be important to them and to negotiate the best price or to buy in bulk. You know, a lot of our suppliers will give a truckload discount. It's maybe 1 or 2%. But that's something that we can pass along to our customers so we can remain competitive in the marketplace. But you have to be large to be able to buy a truckload of lawnmowers at a time. And so I've wanted to expand for 15 years. And I told you earlier in the show that a number of years ago we attempted to expand, and then I based that on having one particular person running that store. And when he left and went to the Mobile Fire Department, which was a great move for him, and I support that, I just didn't have the right person to keep that going.
Yeah.
So we backed down. But so I've wanted to expand, but, you know, that's one of the mistakes I alluded to. I've made mistakes. One of the mistakes I look at, I was fearful to expand. And I decided to address that fear, and I'm a perfectionist and a procrastinator by nature, those two things, which is not a good combination. But I wanted to wait until I had everything in place and it was perfect before we attempted an expansion, which meant hiring the staff there and getting them trained. Well, in our business, that just never happens.
Yeah.
So you hear the statement, you know, build it and they will come. And that's what I decided to do in West Mobile, was to just put a location out there and start working it. And we made some adjustments with personnel there. We retained every, you know, my first manager isn't a salesperson, but I just found another position in our company. And now he's a key player in our business. He's still with us. But we put someone else in there who was ready to sell and would ask for the business when people would come in, and it's just taken off. In fact, my West Mobile location is much smaller. We've been operating out of about 2,300 square feet, but you measure in retail profit per square foot,
right?
And we're blowing it out of the water. I mean, it's a much more profitable location than my Midtown store, although we do a lot more business at Midtown. And so now we're ready, and we can announce that we'll be opening in a couple of months a location out West Mobile past Snow Road that will more than triple our space. and give us an opportunity to grow even further down the road, because I've got an acre of land behind it, which I can build a repair shop or a warehouse or expand my showroom if need be. So we're very excited about that expansion opportunity. But the bottom line is, you know, fear is real and it's good. It can keep you from making a dangerous mistake, but you have to embrace fear. And that was a long lesson for me to learn. But once I did, and I've embraced it, it's worked out. And now it's like, yes, there's risk, but I'm going to embrace that risk. We're going to measure it as best we can, and we're going to go forward and keep expanding. So I think to be the successful dealer, we need to grow another couple of stores in the future,
mm-hmm.
just to get our volume of purchasing up so we can remain very important to our suppliers and also remain in the best position to get product and get it at the best price for our customers.
So it's feasible you could be buying two truckloads of lawnmowers at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned fear, and when I was in your store, you told me about kind of a crime ring that was scary, quite frankly. You showed me a video of something. Tell me about that. There's people that are targeting the equipment that you sell because it's easy to sell on the out of the back of the pickup truck in a parking lot.
Sure. You know, there's a nationwide issue with theft of individuals coming into a retail business and grabbing something and either walking out with it or running out with it. It's happening across the board from, you know, you've heard the news on Best Buy, they came in through the roof, but they've been snatching and grabbing stuff for years, Apple products and things that have a street value that's easy to sell. And that's true in our industry. I mean, a steel chainsaw is a good quality chainsaw and there's a high demand for it. So, we've had an increase in that the past year or so of people coming in and just grabbing something and running out. So we're having to address that by locking down equipment and installing cameras. And I just have to reach out and say thank you to the Mobile Police Department. They've been extremely responsive. They've apprehended one subject that was involved recently with this at both my locations, who also hit five other businesses that they know of in Mobile. And then the DA, Ashley Rich, has been great. I've met with her personally and said, look, I want to prosecute someone who steals from me, even if it's a small amount, because I think that's the right thing to do. And she's been great as well. So I think we're doing all we can, but, you know, sometimes you just have to lock things down more. And I just want my employees to be safe and feel comfortable working. And they do, because this is happening in every area of town and in every type of business. And unfortunately, but hopefully it'll change in the near future and slow down.
You don't want to have to worry about employees having to confront someone who may be stealing and who may get violent when confronted. You just hate that.
Sure. So that's why we would choose to lock down or secure an item so that that decision doesn't have to be made if the person's walking out the door with it.
If you're looking into your crystal ball, you moved from white goods, I think you call it the appliance world, into what you're doing now. Is there another product that you may pick up in the future that you feel would complement what you're currently doing?
You know, we're slowly moving into trailers. Not that I wanted to get into trailers, but my customers were asking for trailers. They're asking for package deals where they can buy a zero-turn lawnmower and all their lawn equipment, and it's on a trailer, and they have that. And then trailers have been hard to find this past year, last year. And so we've brought in some trailers from a manufacturer in Baldwin County, and we're looking to order some more. So we're getting into the trailer business. And we're always looking, but I've actually narrowed a lot of products. I've been here 18 years now, and I've made the business decision to be a very narrow business, but a very deep business. Mm-hmm. And I want to be an expert on what we sell and support it. And so I'm not looking to add a lot of new products because I just would rather grow by additional locations than try to grow and become, you know, a big superstore of some sort.
Yeah. So it is potential. If you pursue this trailer, I could buy the trailer. The lawnmower would be on the trailer. The zero-turn mower be, I mean, just like and wrap it all in cellophane and sell it to everybody. All I'd do is back your truck up and leave with it, huh?
And that's what some customers are wanting. And we've been competing with other lawn and garden businesses that have been doing that for a few years. And occasionally we'll lose a sale because we haven't had a trailer. And so we've changed that, and we've got trailers on the lot now.
So you mentioned earlier, almost in passing, that you have kind of a board of directors. Is that true?
Well, we're a C corporation, and so we do have a board of directors that, and I'm trying to grow that and bring in more individuals with business knowledge to assist as we grow. So I have a CPA joining later this year. For an example, I'm searching now for a person who has a lot of online experience. We haven't discussed online, but I identify that as a threat to my business.
That's interesting.
So, we've got to investigate how to maybe participate a little more and better with the online shopper.
So there are a lot of listeners who are small business owners, and most of them may have a board of advisors, which can be a very casual group of people that help them come and think through problems or teach them about market opportunities. By being a C Corp, you're required to have a board of directors. Am I correct?
Yes.
And how many people are on that at this point?
We have four.
Four people on your board of directors, and each brings a specific area of knowledge that advises you, correct?
Well, we're growing into that. We have a lot of family now.
Oh, I see.
And their heart's in the business, but I'm a paper calendar guy still to this day.
Yeah.
I think you and I had an experience where I failed to write something in my calendar. So I'm not technologically savvy. I have no interest in that. So I need to bring someone in who is and can advise us. So that's what we're looking to do.
Tell me where you've identified the threat in the online world.
I just watch what my children and how they shop. And we're doing great now with growing our retail business. It increases every year and we're getting new customers in. But my demographic is a person who's over 45, just like your listener base. They're usually a homeowner. That's 60% of my business. The other 30% are professional grass cutters, people who make money using the tools we sell. And about 10% are industry, municipality, University of South Alabama, City of Mobile, for an example. But that homeowner, we see them come in, and if we have the part on the shelf that they need, they'll buy it. If we say we don't have that part, but we can order it and it'll be here in 3 days, they'll say, oh, I'll just order it myself.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I've identified. The other is watching my children who, I buy local. I don't order online very little, but my daughter, right now she's back home, just finished graduate school. There's a package arriving every day at my house. She's selling her textbooks that she doesn't need anymore. She's boxing those up and she buys everything online. That's where my concern is, because the younger generation, that's how they're purchasing a lot of times. And it's not about price. It's about convenience. It's about, I don't have to get on Airport Boulevard and fight Christmas traffic. I can just order this and it's going to be here in a day or two.
I would rather disappoint my children on Christmas morning than have to get on Airport Boulevard to go get their gift.
You and a lot of people.
Yeah. I would rather see their crushed faces and their souls squashed than saying, "And man, your gift was on Airport Boulevard. I'm sorry. I love you, but it was just inconvenient."
Right.
Yeah. We're running up to the end. Tell people where they can find you.
Well, they can find us in Midtown on Government Boulevard, 2646 Government Boulevard, right before the Loop as you head down. If you're from Mobile, you know where the Loop is, but we're near the Walmart neighborhood market. We're glad to help you. It's a narrow storefront, but a lot of people don't realize we've got 16,000 square feet under roof there. And another 5,000 square foot warehouse right there. So it's a bigger operation than people realize. They can also find us coming in a few months. I'm saying we're going to open mid-spring. Don't ask me what mid-spring is, because with contractors and all, I don't know what that means exactly.
Understand.
But they'll find us at our second location, out Airport Boulevard, past Snow Road.
Yeah.
So that's a big growing intersection, and we're right out on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
And it'll be a I mean, excuse me, it's an 8,000 square foot building there that we're in the process of renovating.
I kind of know where that is, out on Snow Road, but I don't head to Westmobile very much. Do you need a passport to get there?
You don't need a passport, and you'll be welcomed with open arms. But what's very interesting is we're moving from Airport Boulevard across the Academy near Schillinger's Road. The number of customers that buy from us from the state of Mississippi,
I was going to ask you that,
is amazing.
Really?
It has really shocked me. So yeah. I expect that to grow even more.
They're coming from Mississippi to get some class, some service, some gratitude from people who care.
I hope we can take good care of all of our customers.
Edward, go ahead.
I just was going to thank you for your business as well. We appreciate you.
I love going in there, and I have to leave my wallet in the car because I'm going to walk out with a bigger chainsaw than I need. Edward Dismukes is the president and owner at Wilson Dismukes. He told you where to find him. You can find him online at wilsondismukes.com. Edward, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Cam.
We'll be back after this break with final comments. You're listening to What's Working, brought to you by the Alabama Center for Real Estate, housed at the University of Alabama. I'm Cam Marston. This is Cam Marston. The Keith family has provided service to my heating and cooling system since my family and I moved into our home 12 years ago. And today, Keith Air Conditioning offers 0% financing for up to 60 months on new installations, making a new heating or cooling system for your home even easier to come by. Give them a call or find them online and let them come work their magic. Keith and Carrier, turn to the experts.
What's Working with Cam Marston is brought to you by Stella Artois Beer. Stella Artois is a perfect beer for celebration. Nothing caps off a big sale, hitting your incentive goals, or a profitable quarter like a round of Stella's. Brewed first in 1708 as a special Christmas brew, today Stella is a gift for everyone to enjoy year-round. Stella Artois. Find it wherever fine beer is sold.
This is Cam Marston with Cajun Mike of E3 Termite and Pest Control. Cajun Mike, houses on pilings can have termites eat their way up inside the piling and enter the house. The homeowner never knows about it, but your company offers protection. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Cam. What we have designed is a program, and what we do is we will actually drill to the center of the piling and put a product in the center that will stop the termites from coming up into the home.
Stucco exteriors as well?
Correct.
How can people find you, Cajun Mike?
They can find me at e3pest.com.
That's the letter E, the number 3, pest.com.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. I'm State Farm agent Allison Horner, and that's why I'm right here in Mobile to help you select the right protection at the right price. I'll make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. With me as your State Farm agent, it's easy to make the right choice. You can come by, call, or click AllisonHorner.com. When you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, this is T. Bruce McKinnon. I'm the president and CEO of Elevator World and Bay Business News. And when I'm not traveling the world looking over elevators or trying to find news for the local business community, I'm listening to What's Working with Cam Marston. Now back to the show.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working, presented by the Alabama Center for Real Estate at the University of Alabama. Thanks to Edward Dismukes. Got to wrap it quick today, folks. Not a lot of time. If you want to share the show, you think somebody should hear it, find it at whatsworkingcam.com. There you can find all the shows as podcasts, as well as subscribe via your favorite podcast link. Drop me a line, cam@cammarston.com. John Thompson is the show's producer with Ion Digital. We'll have another show next week. Have a good week, everyone.